realfaith.org.au.
I bought the house from the inheritance from when my dad passed away. And so I was in this house and I was delving into a bit of witchcraft and talking to spirits and stuff like that. And I wanted to talk to my dad and get answers as well. I wanted to know why he would want to drink himself to death. And so I didn't know my father. All I knew of him was that he was a drunk.
This is a warning for parents that due to the adult themes being discussed in today's program, it is not recommended for young listeners. Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
Well, recently on the program, we heard the amazing story of Joseph Biro, who was a rock star with a group called Super Heist, but then he lost it all when he got involved in the drugs and party lifestyle. But eventually he went to drug rehab, became a Christian, and now he is helping other people recover from being on drugs and is actually teaching the Bible. So it's an amazing story. Welcome back to the program, Joseph Biro.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you back. And when we did have you on the program last time, you shared that there was something exciting that was about to happen in your life. What was that?
Well, it was actually getting married.
That's right.
To beautiful Nicole Biro, who's here with us today.
That's right. Welcome to the program, Nicole Biro.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Getting used to the new
surname? I know. It's a little bit strange, actually.
Well, it's great to have you with us, and we're going find out how the two of you met,
Sure.
The Joseph and Nicole story. But before we get to that, we're going to find out your story because, well, the Lord has been working in your life. Is that right?
Yeah, massively, huge. My life is an absolute contrast to what it was. So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Growing up with a single mum and a father that was an alcoholic was quite difficult, so a lot of my teenagehood and adulthood became quite affected by that.
How did it make you feel? What was your relationship with your father?
Not much of a relationship. Basically, he was always drunk.
All the time?
All the time. The time drunk, yeah. And when he was drunk, he was quite arrogant, quite nasty, and abusive to my mum, which was kind of scary to see. But that only lasted till I was about 7 and they split up. And then the relationship I had with my dad after my parents split up was he would pick me up and I'd spend the weekend with him.
Okay, so obviously you were living with your mother?
Yes, I was living with my mother, yeah.
And what impact did that have on you? How were you feeling?
Well, I guess confused as a kid, you know. Yeah. There was no support, and my mum was doing it really tough.
Mm.
So she was working really hard, and us kids were going to school and, you know, eating bread for dinner. So,
oh well,
yeah, it was it wasn't easy, and you know, she had to pay for the roof over our heads.
Where were you living at the time?
So we my dad and my mum built a really big house, and then when they divorced, my dad he didn't want to give anything up, so we rented houses in the same area in Roville.
Oh, in the Melbourne area?
Yeah, in the Melbourne area, yeah. But on the weekends, when I did stay with my dad, on the way back when he was taking me home, he would literally pull out of his driveway and pull over like 2 doors down and scull a bottle of Johnny Walker, a litre bottle of Johnny Walker, and then continue to drive me home.
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah, so it was basically, alcohol was just had to be in his bloodline. That's the only way he could really survive. And so,
and you're in the car,
yeah,
with him,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was really scary, but that didn't last for long. He just really lost interest after a while, and
in being a father,
yeah. As I got a bit older in high school, there was a time where our school sort of got evacuated and the teachers called the parents and they couldn't get in contact with my mum, so they called my dad. And literally, I don't know why, but the teacher had actually informed me that my dad said that he didn't have a daughter.
Wow.
Because he was so incoherent because of alcohol. Yeah, he was lost. And I guess my main
that
thing...
That had to really cut to the core.
I think the question as a kid I had for him was, why? Like, why would you want to drink yourself that silly? You know, and he was drinking so much to the point where he would have fits and mum would find him in a pool of blood and...
Wow.
You know, and that was back when he was, you know, when they were together.
And how was your life going through the high school years?
Not the best. I was rebellious, to say the least. Like, not super bad, but I was, like, smoking and drinking and...
Getting into the party lifestyle?
Yeah, definitely. I was probably about 13 or 14 where I went to my first rave and had speed.
What is a rave?
A dance party.
Okay, so a lot of dancing.
So a lot of dancing, drugs? A lot of drugs, yeah.
Okay. But you like that kind of thing?
Yeah, because I felt like I belonged somewhere. Because, you know, I didn't belong with my father. I didn't. My mother was doing
working
it
tough. A lot?
Yeah, working a lot. Yeah, so it was exciting and new and different. I got obsessed over it, really. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I loved the music and I loved just what it brought to my table. So, yeah.
So you got deeper and deeper into that?
Mm-hmm.
Through the high school years?
Yeah. So it became, I tried speed and then I started marijuana. And so marijuana was the thing that I could get my hands on quite easily. So I did that for a while. And obviously smoking cigarettes and alcohol and just getting involved with kids that just would like to run amok.
Then what was the next major part of your life?
Well, I guess that went on for a fair while. And then I met my son's father at a pub and we just obviously got along and we moved in with each other quite early in our relationship. And about, I think, 2.5 years into the relationship, I fell pregnant. And at 5 months pregnant, I actually left him because our relationship wasn't going in the right direction.
Suddenly you're on your own and you're pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the bottom line.
Yeah.
At 23.
Yeah. It was really tough. Really tough. But I just, I guess I didn't feel love from him. And so I actually felt that Max was my son, my baby in my tummy. He wasn't coping either. And so I decided that I should leave. And so I did. Leave the father, yeah. Yeah, so I moved back home with my mum and my brother, and they were my support.
So now you're a mother.
Yeah.
But as you said earlier, you were involved in drugs. But drugs and being a parent don't go together. How did that work out?
So I stopped taking drugs, obviously, at this stage. And it was, you know, there was a good stint where I didn't do drugs because obviously I have a beautiful baby. And But then as Max got a little bit older, I returned to part-time work. And Max was back in childcare from early hours of the morning till late because of distance from work and so forth. So childcare was quite prominent in his early life. Anyways, I was working more and more and more.
So you're being responsible?
Yeah.
You're now a parent. You're providing for your child?
Yeah.
So a little more maturity in your life, it
sounds
like?
Yeah, a little bit, somewhat. And then shortly after I was working a lot more, Max's dad actually hurt his back at work. And shortly after that, I got a promotion at work. And so the most logical thing was for Max to go live with his father and actually have a relationship with his dad, not just on weekends, but, yeah, just have more of a relationship. So we decided that that's what should happen. And so I continued to work. I worked really hard. And I guess after a while, the more I worked, the harder I played as well. So work hard, play hard.
Party hard?
Yeah, party hard. Yeah. And so that got me back into drinking and back into drugs. But this time it wasn't just speed or marijuana. It got to the point where it was ice. and managing ICE and working and a son was not healthy at all.
Yeah, I don't even know how somebody can do that. I mean, ICE takes over your whole life.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Did it take over yours?
Well, then I stopped again. Mm. Yeah, and then so it was on and off for years. It was like I'd do well and then I'd go back on it again. And so it was back and forth. Mm. But my last stint of drugs, by this stage I had bought a house with my mum. But so there was years of on and off drug abuse. Mm-hmm. Yep. I bought the house from the inheritance from when my dad passed away. And so I was in this house and I was delving into a bit of witchcraft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a bit of mediumship and talking to spirits and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so also I was...
Why do you think you got into all that?
I was searching.
Hmm.
Definitely I was searching for, well, not only that, I wanted to talk to my dad and get answers as well.
Oh, wow. So there was something deep inside of you that still wanted some kind of a connection to your earthly father.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I wanted to know why he would want to drink himself so silly.
Drink himself to death, literally.
Yeah, to death. He did. Yeah. To death. And so it's like, I guess, I don't want to compare myself to an orphan, but an orphan doesn't know its parents.
Mm.
And so I didn't know my father.
Mm-hmm.
All I knew of him was that he was a drunk.
Mm.
So, you know, you want to know your identity, mm-hmm. I guess, in that respect.
Yeah. So you're searching?
Yeah, longing. I was searching and also doing ICE, and so it got really messy.
Our guest today is Nicole Biro. She's the wife of recent guest Joseph Biro. She's sharing her story with us today, and unfortunately, as we've been hearing, her life has been spiraling downward and out of control. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out how it all turns around and how she eventually meets and marries Joseph Biro. All that and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is Nicole Biro. She's the wife of recent guest Joseph Biro. We heard his story and how he was a rock star on top of the world and then lost it all through drugs and the party lifestyle. He eventually goes to drug rehab, puts his faith in Jesus, and now is a Bible teacher. So he met and married Nicole, but we're getting ahead of the story. Next, we're going to find out more of her story and how it gets worse before it finally gets better.
Anyways, I got to a point where my family jerried on and they realized that I wasn't well at all. And so they had an intervention. They confronted me. But not only that, my mum had found some drugs in my house. So they had hard evidence and I was acting strange and, you know, I wasn't going in a good direction.
So you mentioned an intervention. That kind of means that they got together and said, hey, we know what's up. You have a problem.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the gist of it?
Definitely. So I came home from work one day and my mum's there and my brother. And soon after that, my mum's partner at the time came and then my sister-in-law. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? So they sat me down and they're like, Nicole, you've got a problem. And I'm like completely on the defense because I was high. And I'm like, no, I don't. What are you talking about? Denying everything when it was quite evident and obvious. And because I was high, I turned into an ice rage and it got a bit violent and crazy. And my brother tried to hold me down and he couldn't because of the ice. Yeah.
It's that powerful. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I physically, I removed myself. I ran away. And it was so crazy. Like, I'd ran away. I was like 29 years old and I'm running away from my family.
From your own home?
From my own home.
That you own?
Yeah. Yep. And I ran down the street and I ran to someone else's house and, you know, I was the victim.
In your mind?
In my mind, I was the victim. And
they're all wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was playing off a complete different story, that they were the ones in the wrong and I was the victim, yeah.
So how did you finally get to the point of reaching rock bottom and this story changing?
Yeah, right. So my mum had taken over my house. So don't forget, she's partly owner of this house. Mm-hmm. So she had the right to mm-hmm. be there.
Yep.
And so I contacted an old friend. Yeah, he took me in. But in the meantime, I got so dark and hurt because I was such a victim from my family, like, coming against me. I cried out to God because at this stage I was in the gutter. I had nothing. I had no support, no nothing. And I cried out to God. And I was sitting in my car and I had no soul. And I was just so broken.
What do you mean by that? You had no soul?
I don't know how to describe it to you. It's complete utter emptiness.
Mm.
It's like the wind could blow through me, you know, and it, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like, I knew that the situation I was in, I should have felt a lot more pain, but I was just so hollow.
Numb,
hollow. Yeah, the wind could blow through me. I was just empty, complete empty, and I had nothing. And I think the only thing that was left in me said, this is wrong. And I cried out to God and I said, why? Why am I going through this? Why? Help me, Lord. And
did you have any type of...
Well, I'd been doing mediumship and all that sort of stuff.
So you knew about good and evil and that, I guess, there was a spiritual dimension to life.
Yeah, I was brought up on a minute scale. So I had a little bit of an understanding of a faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a whim of it. So.
So you called out to him?
Yeah, I called out to him and it was like I was sitting there like as a skeleton, no soul, nothing. And I guess I felt him say, okay, well, if this is where you're at, let's go forward. And so from that point, I stopped taking drugs, but I hit the alcohol really heavily. And living with this guy and just a really toxic relationship, it was really, really messy.
So things actually got worse before they got better.
It did get worse. Like, he pushed me and I broke
the
collarbone.
The guy that you were living
with? Yeah.
So broke your collarbone.
Yeah, on Christmas Day, we were drinking and he pushed me and he broke my collarbone.
Wow.
And
that'll get your attention.
That did get my attention, yeah. And so I'm like, I'm actually worth more than this. And I decided to leave. And then the next minute I'm with a friend that actually is a mutual friend between Joseph and I. I didn't know at the time. She took me in and she goes, Nicole, you got to do something. You look horrible. You're not going in the right way. And so I contacted my family. I reconciled with my family and they said, okay, you want to come back? Come back. But before you come back, we're going to church. And I said, okay, whatever. Just I need to get out of here. I need to go forward in life. And so we went to Rima, Australia on New Year's Eve and I saw a different world and I met my husband there.
So that's where you come into the story, Joseph?
Yeah, that's where I come in. If I can just ask a question, when you heard the word of God, how did you feel? What was it that actually brought you to the feet of Jesus?
I guess his heart for me, yeah, he responded. And so that means that I'm something to him. Yeah, I'm worth something.
And how did that make you feel?
I guess like a child again, you know? So it's feeling accepted and wanted and
yeah, loved.
And loved, definitely.
And that you have a father.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. The best one ever.
You're not making it easy on me. And then eventually...
I have an identity.
And then the seed began to grow in your heart?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly did.
So, Joseph, when you met her, what were you thinking?
When I met Nicole, I saw such a beauty and a brokenness in her, and I could definitely resonate with that, being in that space. So I was instantly attracted to her, but I didn't pursue anything with Nicole. I was pursuing Christ, and all I wanted was Jesus. I didn't want anything else. Yeah, so when I met her, we got along really well, and we shared some time, and I shared my experience with Nicole.
So... Getting back to you, Nicole, the seed is planted in your heart.
Yeah.
You started to grow.
Yes. Yeah, so I continued to go to Rima on Sundays for the church meetings with my brother originally, like with my brother and sister-in-law. And then it got to a stage where they no longer went and I continued. And so I would go to church on a Sunday and then I'd go home and I'd like read my Bible. And I got to the point where my mum's like, Nicole, you're spending too much time in your room reading the Bible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, but, you know, that's what's got me through. You know, I was leaning on him and pressing into the word. And, you know, it was that saved me from temptation and thinking about drug use.
Did you go to a formal drug rehabilitation program?
No. So by this stage, I'd gotten sober.
So you kind of quit drugs cold turkey?
Yes, yeah.
And just prayed to God?
Yeah.
And read your Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 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 So that's how powerful he is.
Amen. Yeah. And then eventually the two of you become a couple?
Yeah. So after a little while, not straight away.
So I left Rima, and then a couple months later, I believe, Nicole contacted me via Messenger. And like, remember me? And I'm like, yes, let's catch up. And next thing, we're...
So you remembered her.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wanted to pursue her, but I didn't do it because I didn't feel like it was the right thing to do. I felt like it was...
Because she was a baby Christian.
Yeah, well, yeah. That too. But also, my eyes were on Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. My heart was all his, and I didn't feel like I had any room for anyone else at that time.
But now that time had passed.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I definitely felt Nicole was an answered prayer, a desire of my heart, you know, to have a good woman that feared God and loved God and I could walk with for the rest of my life, you know.
Now we're married.
Amen. So you're married, but more than that,
yeah,
you're involved in ministry together.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, right. So it's intense, it's awesome, it's, I don't know what to say, but it's such a blessing, like... The Lord's blessed us with a ministry, first of all. And
what do you do?
So we're involved in Elijah Care, which is an awesome ministry involving people that have had addiction or alcohol or just struggling in life. And so we just want to stand by them and walk beside them and be a helping hand in any way that we can. Be a family, a community, and, you know, just love on them.
And it's going well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and my wife and I had the pleasure of meeting you and Joseph at the community there for a party that was there, a celebration, and got to hear some of the wonderful testimonies of lives that are being changed because of Elijah Care. And now the two of you, as you mentioned, are serving the Lord and helping others who have gone through similar circumstances. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Pleasure. It's been awesome. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Joseph, for coming back.
No problem.
But that's not all. There's more. Next time, Joseph's mother, Lizzie, is going to share her story because she has a whole journey that she went on as a mother of somebody who was a drug addict. So if you are a parent of somebody who is involved in drugs and you might think it's a hopeless situation, Lizzie will share her story
from a mother's perspective. So that's coming up next time.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.